Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome.
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Russell Johnson, the recruiting analyst for RebelGrove.com, Rivals.com, is here with us as well. We'll get to Russell in a minute. Today on the show, Danny West covers Arkansas recruiting for HogSports.com, part of the Rivals.com network. You'll hear Danny and Russell talk about recruiting and me sabotage the hell out of the interview for the better part of 45 minutes. So we'll get to that in a minute. First, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans. It's never too early to plan for the holiday season, so get a jump start on your gift-giving list, whether for business or family. Billy's offers gift towers, samplers, gift bags, and more to please every sweet tooth on your list. And now's the perfect time to line up your Thanksgiving cakes. Order Billy's Blueberry Pecan Coffee Cake or the Cinnamon Pecan Coffee Cake. They'll freeze beautifully until the big day. I'm ordering the cinnamon pecan like here really soon because that's got my Thanksgiving morning written all over it. Order now, and Billy's will ship your gifts on the date requested. Here's the thing. Billy's makes it really easy. Email your list of recipients to gifts@billyspecans.com. That's G-I-F-T-S because I struggle saying the word gifts. At Billy's, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com, and they will handle the rest. If you want your logo on your gift, they can do that. They can provide a complimentary gift card for you to express whatever you want for that special person. Go to their website, billyspecans.com, see what they have to offer. Their two most popular gifts for corporate clients are the Simply Duo and the Party Trio, but everything you see is a perfect gift. You can order online at billyspecans.com, email at gifts@billyspecans.com, or call 1-800-624-7404, and Stacy or Bailey will assist you with your gifting needs. And listen, on your order, use the code SOFTVERBAL, code SOFTVERBAL, if you are ordering a 1 or 2 pound bag of the cinnamon spice pecans. And if you're not, you should, because they're addictive. You get a complimentary free 8-ounce pecan sandies, and they're not those pecan sandies like the ones you get from the Keebler Elves. They're the ones that melt in your mouth. You put them in a little bite-sized cookie-like looking things. They're fantastic. They will disappear quickly. All of that at Billy's Pecans, promo code SOFTVERBAL. The podcast is also brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John has been in the mortgage business for 13 years and has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire area, the entire state of Mississippi, I should say, from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. Contact John at fidelitymort.com or 601-842-9764. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and Corey will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours on a brand new Ford. It's a great vehicle, great service after the sale, just a fantastic car buying experience from Clark Ford, no haggling, right to the bottom line. So you get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can take our word for it and make it easy, or you can make it complicated on yourself and call a bunch of other dealers and try to find a better deal. You're going to end up coming right back to Clark Ford and letting Clark Ford do for you what it's done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. At the end of your deal with Corey, tell Corey, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can obviously mention this podcast, the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. You can mention the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Any of the above, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Russell, after all of that, welcome into the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just doing awesome. I'm great. I'm just great.
That's good. Yeah. You know, last weekend we had a pretty large visitor list.
Yeah.
Into town for the first weekend. I mean, obviously the outcome wasn't what Ole Miss would have hoped, but they had several talented kids on campus. I mean, you had Harold Joyner. You had obviously the commitments, Jonathan Hess and Alan Love. They're pushing for him pretty hard. And then you had quite a few kids from the Memphis area come to town, which I think personally is going to be a huge priority going forward for the next coaching staff and even just in the 2018 class. I mean, the city of Memphis has more talent than, I wouldn't say the state of Mississippi, but it's getting up there pretty close.
All right. What was the feedback generally? I know you talked to a lot of kids, whether it was DM or text or you actually used a voice, whatever. What was the general feedback?
A lot of people talked about, you know, the loyalty that the fans are showing to the program by still coming out with everything going on with the uncertainty with the coaching staff and the NCAA sanctions. A lot of kids are just ready for the closure to come out, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it really boils down to. And then, you know, a couple kids kind of gave some negative feedback, but that's going to happen. One of them showed up late. He's actually one of the best players in the entire state, but he showed up a little late, didn't get a chance to talk to the coaches, was kind of upset about that. Left Oxford right after the game, went to Starkville, so that kind of drew some buzz. I saw my name on a couple Mississippi State message boards this week. So
Yeah? What are they saying?
Just showing the screenshot of the article that we made.
Okay.
With his quote and saying DeJuan Black's 100% and Pickering's a lock for state, which I wouldn't really agree with this early in the game. But, you know, anything can happen.
You mentioned the negative feedback. I know of one in particular involving a current player talking to a recruit.
Yes.
Leave names out of it.
Right.
Does that happen often?
Not that I know of. I mean, like, this was my first visit weekend, you know, covering a school in the SEC. At Cincinnati, that was unheard of. I mean, really the current players wouldn't be – they would be around the recruits, but they wouldn't have enough time – unsupervised to say anything negative about the program.
So this was a current player. I saw the DM. It's a current player telling a kid he doesn't need to come to Ole Miss. Is that a product of just a frustrated kid? Is that a product of this NCAA thing, the coaching staff changes? Or is it just one disgruntled kid being...
I think it's a combination of all of those, you know, just kind of blowing up into one. Right, I mean, right after the game, a big loss, trying to, you know, win Matt Luke the permanent job, which, albeit it still doesn't seem likely, it could still happen. And really the lack of playing time and the amount of impact he could have if he was given the playing time. That really factors into it. And then, like you said, the NCAA stuff, and just waiting for everything to be over. I mean, this, like you told me over the weekend on Saturday after the game, this season can't get over fast enough.
Yeah, I think for a lot of programs, when you get to a place like this, the season needs to end. I mean, I know they have kids coming in this week. Who's coming in this weekend? Is it a big visit weekend? Or it's an early game?
It's an early game, so they're not expecting many. They had an official visitor set up for this week. It was a safety from Florida. They've kind of pushed that back. Want to wait till everything's finalized and everything so they can kind of actually get a gauge. Ole Miss might be picking up a commitment in the next, I'd say, 24 to 48 hours. Recording this on Wednesday morning, and I do expect that. I expect to be on the defensive side of the ball and at a position where Ole Miss currently does not have a commitment.
I guess let me ask, I'm a little surprised that they're using official visits right now, given...
Yeah, the one official visitor, the only way they're going to use the official visits currently is for people who are either going to early enroll or right. Plan on signing in December.
Okay.
That's all they're doing. That's why they're kind of been pushing people back. They turned down a four-star corner who wanted to visit last weekend. because he wanted to officially visit. Obviously, it's not cheap to get from Florida to Oxford. And they basically told him, you know, we're gonna hold out, wait till the sanctions come out, see what scholarships we have, and kind of go from there.
Today's show is brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? Well, it's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast, then listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. You got anything else you want to get to before we get to our interview with Danny?
We got some big games coming up this weekend in the state of Mississippi. The one I'm most interested in seeing is Madison Central and Northwest Rankin. Northwest Rankin has really kind of flip-flopped quite a bit with their quarterbacks. 2020 quarterback Phillip Short's going to be special, but it just doesn't seem that they can keep him on the field long enough. And in Madison Central, I saw them play Starkville a few weeks back, and their offense just doesn't seem to get going. So that could be an interesting one. And then obviously Tupelo and Horn Lake facing off. Horn Lake's had a really good year, and we'll see if they're healthy enough to kind of put up a fight with Tupelo, who's coming into the game undefeated.
Yeah, well, Tupelo's in trouble next week.
Who's Tupelo play next week?
The Chargerettes.
Oh.
Chargerettes are going to kill the Tupelo dance team. The Oxford dance teacher does not like when I issue these proclamations. She thinks it's too much trash talk. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I mean, no one has beaten the Chargerettes this season. They have their home finale Friday against somebody. Whoever it is, they're going down. That dance team's going down. And then next Friday night is going to be a really rough night for the Tupelo Golden Wave Etz.
All right, well, let's get to the interview with Danny.
Okay, yeah, on that note, hang right. All right, here we go. We talked earlier in the show. You'll hear it now. A pretty long interview with Danny West of hogsports.com. I think you'll enjoy it. Take a listen. All right, Danny, here's the first thing. Arkansas comes to Oxford Saturday. There's all sorts of rumors about Brett Bielema being on the hot seat in Fayetteville. I'll make it as simple as this. Are you surprised we're here?
Well, I think people are really surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, after his third year here, you know, he had gone from 3-9 to 7-6 to 8-5, and it just seemed like that arrow continued to trend in the right direction. And last year, if you'll remember, with two games left on the schedule, they go into Missouri, who was, I think, 3-8 at the time, and Arkansas had a chance to finish 9-4. All they had to do was beat Missouri and then go win some kind of bowl game somewhere, and they're 9-4, and that arrow continues again after 4 years going in the positive direction. You look back on that time, Russell, and it's just a huge turning point for a lot of fans. They had a 17-point halftime lead in that game. They blew it. You go off to the bowl game against Virginia Tech, you blow a 24-point halftime lead, and it just seems like ever since those two games, it's just spiraling, and nobody can get a grip on it. And again, I think that surprises people because it's not so much that it's happening to Arkansas, it's that it's happening to Brett Bielema, because you think about Brett being this big, burly, you know, Midwestern guy. He's always believed in the offensive line and the running game and controlling the clock and running a standard 4-3 defense, all this old school, as he calls, real American football. And here you are 2 years later, he's playing up tempo, you know, like he's going to the 3-4 now. They're not a good running football team. They don't have an offensive line worth, you know, anything in this conference. And it seems like they've lost their identity. And I think that surprises a lot of people who were kind of banking on the idea that they will always have an offensive line and a running game, if nothing else. And now they don't. They don't even have that, man. So it's been rough for Arkansas, to say the least.
I know there are conflicting reports about what exactly Brett Bielema's buyout is, and it might depend on which attorney is reading the document and interpreting it what. But from best of your knowledge, and we won't hold you to this, but best of your knowledge, what roughly is his buyout if Arkansas decided to make a change?
You know, some people, we went for years thinking it was 15.4. And then, you know, a report came out in the statewide newspaper that said, no, that's in fact, it's like 5.9 million. Now I'm hearing that the university, what they would owe is 5.9, but then you still have the foundation who is responsible for the other part to make it 15.4. So that's a big gap there. No one seems to truly know the language of the contract, to be honest with you. So it's, I really can't tell you what his buyout is exactly, but we do know it's a lot of money to get rid of him. So, you know, we'll see what they can do with that. The good news is, I say the good news, it's never good news for somebody to get fired and for the fans to be going through this. But
right.
I think if you had to come up with the money, you know, several million, you've got Walmart, you've got the Tyson guys, J.B. Hunt, you know, they're all right here close to you. And obviously they can make things happen.
Right, right. It sounds like they can definitely do that. So who would be some potential candidates that you could see, you know, replacing him if that did happen?
Oh, boy. You know, it's been funny to me sitting back watching the message board. I think I've seen about 50 names now, and everybody's got their opinion on it. But
we go through the same thing every day.
The one, yeah, absolutely. You guys are going through it over there. And the one thing that sticks out to me is how many people believe the idea that Arkansas, and I can't say I disagree with it, Arkansas needs a coach that can go into Texas and start recruiting a little better there. Not just a little better. They've been pretty awful in recruiting Texas. So a lot of people like that possibility, you know, and the couple of names that stick out there, if that's your what you're looking for, would be Chad Morris, Frank Wilson. Both of those guys obviously have Texas ties and could do something for you there. I'll tell you, just to let you know how bad it's been for Arkansas and Texas recruiting, under Brett Bielema, he signed 5 recruiting classes now, and he's only had 14 kids out of Texas. That's less than 3 per year. During that same time, I looked this up this morning, Ole Miss, which is obviously further away from Texas, it's not a bordering right. state like Arkansas is, they've signed 13 out of Texas in the last 5. So you would think Arkansas would be able to do a little better than that. Even the Iowa Hawks, how far that is away from Texas, they're right there on par with what Arkansas is doing, and that's just not good enough. You can't average 2.8 Texans in each class if you're Arkansas. You don't have a very solid home base for your players. It's got to be Texas, and they just haven't done that.
Yeah, true, true. So has Frank Wilson kind of came into the picture at all? Have you heard his name at all on the message boards?
Yeah, well, you know, just from the fans, they like him a lot. Obviously, Frank's got a big name in the South, and I'll tell you what, you look at what Arkansas, it's hard to find many bright spots on this year's football team, but if there is some, most of them, or several of them, I should say, they are from Louisiana. I've been really impressed with the quality of player they've gotten out of Louisiana, and obviously, Frank's got major ties there, so maybe you could keep that going. Granted, you're not ever going to go in if you're Arkansas anyway and steal a bunch of kids from LSU that they want, but you can get some guys. LSU can't sign them all, and you can get some of their leftover guys who are really good players, and I think, you know, that could be beneficial. Frank also has the ties to Texas now, having coached there for a couple of years, so maybe that's a guy that starts to generate a lot more momentum for him.
Man, I got to tell you guys, I'm not trying to be anti-Frank Wilson on a lot of people, but I'm a Louisiana boy. I know how that state works. You're going to get kids – if you're going to try to get getting Louisiana kids out of Louisiana, that LSU wants right now is Nick Saban. He's the only guy. And he gets everybody he wants out of any place, wherever he wants. So you almost have to throw him out as an outlier. I really question the logic, and I hear it from Ole Miss people, and I think it's flawed. And I'm not as familiar with Arkansas' situation. I was going to get to an Arkansas question, though, in a second. I think operating under the assumption at a place like Arkansas or Ole Miss get a lot of Louisiana kids that are high enough caliber to compete in this league is flawed. I think it's fatally flawed. I think if that's part, I'm out. I would hear that and say, no offense, kids to LSU, and recruiting Louisiana kids to Ole Miss or is apples and.
Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I just go based on what I've seen with Arkansas kids. You know, some of their top players have been from Louisiana, and it seems like they went for a while there where they never touched Louisiana. And then Michael Smith, I don't know if you guys know who that is. He's their wide receivers coach under Brett Bielema. He comes in. He's a New Orleans guy. You know, he missed on all of the guys that LSU wants because exactly what you said there. They're going to get who they want down there. But, you know, I feel like he's found a few. Jared Cornelius, Kendrick Jackson, Santos Ramirez, Scooter Harris, middle linebacker. I think they're quality players. Now, they may not be all SEC, you know, type players who could have played at LSU. I don't know. But they've been pretty good for Arkansas. They've had a pretty good run with them.
I've always thought Arkansas, back in when they're operating at peak efficiency, what Arkansas would do well is that I-20 corridor in Louisiana where you go in and you get some kids out of North Louisiana. For those people who don't want a Louisiana history lesson, just fast forward for a minute. Alexandria North is not LSU country, if you will. Now, there's LSU pockets, certainly, in Monroe, Shreveport, and everywhere in between. But Monroe is not a huge LSU town. Shreveport is right across the border from Texas. It's more East Texas than it is South Louisiana. You get south of Alexandria, that's LSU, except for New Orleans, which is just sort of whatever. New Orleans is an entity in and of itself. Certainly has LSU ties, but Acadiana is all LSU. You're not going to go in and get those kids. There's too much pressure on them to go to LSU. But you can pick up nice players out of the I-20 corridor to a place like Arkansas because, frankly, it's as easy to get to Fayetteville or Oxford for that matter, but as easy to get to Fayetteville as it is to get to Baton Rouge from parts of North Louisiana.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Danny, about the Gus Malzahn rumor? I mean, it's popping up. I know you guys probably hear it every year, but this year it seems to have a little validity to it. I think he wants out of Auburn. I think Auburn wants out of him. It's been a while. The relationship is stagnant. There's some buyout issues, but buyout issues on a situation like this could be made to go away.
They could.
There was a time there when Gus Malzahn to Arkansas would have been inside that state, really sexy. He's done really well at Auburn. Would it still be received as well today as it would have been maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, I don't know that it – for the majority, I think you'd be surprised how many people are against it. And it all goes back to the 2006 season at Arkansas when he was the offensive coordinator and all of that drama that, you know, ultimately ended Houston Nutt's career here because of that big fallout and the Springdale Five and Mitch Mustain and all those things that are tied to Gus Malzahn forever now, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. There are so many people that even I talk to and say, I'm not interested in Gus. And I really have no idea what he did wrong in all of that. You know, I'm sure he played an ego role, but I mean, he's a successful head coach. I think he's done well at Auburn. And I'm like you. If I'm Gus, I think it's probably time to get out from under that pressure. You've got a chance possibly to go home to your home state. If people would just realize that part of it, I think Gus could probably fit in here. You know, I think the offense could work. I think he's a guy that has enough of a name now that could probably fix some of those Texas recruiting problems. He could pull some more guys. So, I can't speak for the entire fan base here, obviously, but I would bet there'd be some pushback on that, believe it or not.
Off the wall, and I know this is not realistic, but it's a podcast. We can play on a podcast. Mm-hmm. If Jeff Long reached out to Bobby Petrino, would there be interest either way?
Oh, boy. I would doubt it, man. I would really doubt it. I would love to hear that conversation.
I would, too. I'd pay money for it.
So epic.
You know what's so funny about Petrino is that he's one of those guys. We were having this discussion on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You know, there's a handful of guys that they almost win to the point everywhere they go to the point that you have to throw out their tenure at any particular school. We were talking about James Franklin. James Franklin's at Penn State. He's winning at a monumental level very quick. Yep. He won at Vanderbilt. And when you go back and look at what he did at Vanderbilt, you say, whoa. Sort of took it for granted at the time.
I'm telling you.
He won big there. And so you almost have to throw that out and go, that no longer factors into the Vanderbilt job. And Petrino's that way too, to a degree. Now, Arkansas's a significantly better job than Vanderbilt. Don't get me wrong. And not even close, not even in the same ballpark. But Petrino at Arkansas had them nationally competitive.
Yep.
Not 1 year had them nationally competitive. Brett hasn't been able to do it, as has been established, and I kind of thought he would. I'm in the category of people that are shocked that he has struggled at yeah. Arkansas. You almost have to go take the Petrino years and say, well, he won everywhere he's ever been. How do you – so I guess I'm getting a long roundabout way to a question. How good is that job in today's SEC? Because I look at today's SEC and – the SEC network helped level the playing field to a point that it's like Alabama, because of Saban, and I think my analogy with one coach, Saban won everywhere. He won big at Michigan State. Had he stayed there, they would have been a nationally competitive program. He won a national title at LSU. He goes to Alabama. He wins nationally. Well, at some point, that's a Saban thing, right? It's not a program thing. Petrino won big at Arkansas. He went to Louisville and won big. At some point, it's kind of a Petrino thing. When you look at the league, I don't know that there's any difference, with the exception of Vanderbilt has deficiencies that pretty much can't be overcome. The other 13 schools, I mean, look, different programs are better jobs than others, but I don't know that it's to the point that it used to be. Everybody has money to burn. Everybody has facilities. Everybody plays every single game on national television. All of the things that used to be recruiting tools are no longer really recruiting tools. I would argue that 13 of the SEC jobs are top 30 national jobs.
Yeah, I think you could make that point.
How do you differ? So when you look at like the Arkansas job, it's still a great job. But how if you're Arkansas, what are you looking for other than maybe somebody with some Texas ties where you say this guy can come in and get this program to a slightly better level than Ole Miss, LSU, Texas A&M, et cetera? What do you look for?
Well, I think a lot of people, and again, I can't speak for everybody, but I think a lot of people have realized the idea that Arkansas, if they're going to be competitive and win, you know, an average of 8 to 9 and, you know, every now and then have that 10-year season, they're going to have to outscore people and do it on the scoreboard. But, and it's because they can't recruit the same type of defensive players here, and that makes the Arkansas job a really, really tough one. We can jump into the in-state recruiting all day long, all the numbers, or the lack thereof, I should say. And the talent just is not here, you know, to produce a great defense year in and year out. You're not going to beat LSU for defensive players and Alabama and Auburn for that matter. So you're kind of up against it, I would think, in that regard. But as far as how coaches see it, I don't know. I think an offensive-minded coach like a Chad Morris or somebody, I think he looks at it and says, hey, I can kind of do what Petrino did there. Get one really good class full of skill position players, build up enough offensive linemen to protect my quarterback and go out and score 40 a game. And that's kind of what Petrino did. His defense was never great. He had one good one here, but I think that might be kind of the formula you've got to shoot for.
That makes sense.
The hard part is you've got so many other programs out there trying to do the same exact thing nowadays with the way offenses are. So it's kind of a crapshoot.
What's high school football like in Arkansas? I know there's some elite programs that are well-coached, but see, this has always been my thing about Ole Miss and State. People talk about Ole Miss and State, and they say, man, there's a lot of NFL players that come out of Mississippi. And you're like, yeah, there are. The problem with Mississippi high school football, and I'm going to make Russell's job harder here by saying this, because I'm going to piss people off, and he's going to go around, and he's going to have to spend the first 5 minutes of every conversation saying, well, Neil's getting older. Just got to forgive him. I don't know that the high school football in Mississippi is advanced enough from an X and O standpoint that there's such a learning curve when kids come, when kids make the jump, that it's not athletically, it's, okay, you've got to completely teach them a different level of offense. You have to teach them a completely different level of defense to stop that offense that they see all the time, as opposed to maybe what makes the adjustment easier at a Texas school or something, where there's so many programs in that state that are essentially running a college light program, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of those Texas schools, they've got kids that only play one way, you know, and here for our state and your state over there, I think that's probably not the case. You can have a real stud at a 3A, 4A level. He's going both ways.
He's playing special teams too.
Yeah, absolutely. And he never gets to hone in on one position in particular. That's just kind of your stud, and you ride him all the way to the championship game if you're so lucky.
Yes.
But the one thing that hurts Arkansas the most, and again, it's a long, long conversation, but you guys know Arkansas is a small state population-wise. I read a statistic just the other day that it just blows my mind. And, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about it, but I think it matters. The city of Memphis, guys, has almost just as many African-American people as the entire state of Arkansas. Think about that now. That matters in recruiting. And that's a real it's a downfall for Arkansas. Nothing you can do about it but overcome it. But, you know, it's a small state to begin with. It's kind of surprisingly more of a basketball state. I don't know how much you guys keep up with it, but so many kids in Little Rock and you know, some of these central Arkansas schools, they choose basketball. Some of your best athletes in the state, they're choosing basketball over football. And so you've got that to deal with. The city of Little Rock itself, you know, your biggest part of the state, most populated part of the state, I should say, is – they're kind of struggling. You know, they don't have the facilities. I don't know how well the school system's working for a lot of kids in Little Rock, and they're just not producing hardly anything out of Little Rock. And when you've got a small state, you need your biggest part of the state, you would think, to produce the most players, and that's just not happening. Arkansas's players that they sign from within the state come from, you know, a private school like Pulaski Academy. Warren, Arkansas, a little 3A school. They've always got players. Northwest Arkansas, right here around the campus, is pretty heavily, populated nowadays. And, you know, you get a lot of transplants in here. Kids that come from all over the country, they come here and they kind of stand out among what we've got here in the state. So it's very sporadic. It's hard to put a finger on, but Arkansas has got a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you know, speaking about the Memphis area, I guess we'll kind of shift into the 2018 recruiting class a little bit. Gary Bohannon, the quarterback from, I believe it's Earl out there in the Memphis area of Arkansas, is he still considered a top target for the Razorbacks in this class, or are they kind of moving forward?
Yeah, they've come pretty much full circle on Gary. You know, they started out, they said, we want you, not sure we've got room for you, but if you'll come, we'll find a spot for you and you can play somewhere. And to Gary's credit, he kept the same line the entire time. He said, I want to go play quarterback. I don't want to be considered an athlete to where you're going to move me to, you know, H-back, receiver, outside linebacker. I want to play quarterback, and I'm going to prove to you that I can do that.
Yeah.
And to his credit, you know, he went out, he worked all summer with Clint Sterner. became, you know, much more polished as a passer. He's having a really good senior year. And now Arkansas has come full circle, like I said, and say they're telling Gary, now, if you come here, you'll play quarterback. We'll have a package for you. You can do all those running plays. You can throw the ball. You know, you can be our quarterback at Arkansas. So I think that part of it's been interesting. I don't know, you know, exactly how much of an impact that's had on Gary, but Arkansas, from what I can understand, is still right there in the mix for him now.
Yeah, it seems that the Ole Miss kind of backed off when he tweeted out a couple weeks ago that he was open to all schools. I know he's been to Baylor a few times. He visited LSU a couple weeks ago. It really seems like his recruitment's starting to pick up. Now, Connor Nolan, would he have any impact on, you know, Arkansas taking two quarterbacks in this class, especially with the limited spots?
You know, I tell you what, one of the more impressive things I've seen in this year's class is that Connor Nolan, you know, obviously their big-time quarterback commitment, he's actually recruited Gary harder than probably anybody on the current staff right now. The kid is just super humble. He just wants to win. He's trying to get as many good players as possible up here to Arkansas. And, you know, I think when I see stuff like that, I think it says a lot about the kid. I talked to Connor last night. You know, he was telling me about all these kids he's calling, trying to generate something positive right now in Arkansas,
right,
obviously.
Trying to get some positive buzz going on.
Yeah, they really need something positive. But to answer your question, I don't think Connor is one bit bothered by them going after Gary. You know, I don't know how Gary feels about Connor being in this class, but I can speak for Connor and say he wants Gary to join him up here.
Right, right. Now, in terms of some other targets you guys still may be after, recently Ole Miss has kind of circled around to the offensive tackle, Jameer Johnson. Has Arkansas showed any interest in him? And, you know, what's kind of the scoop on him?
Absolutely. I think Arkansas was his third offer. I think he had Central Arkansas and Iowa State when Arkansas offered about a month ago. And then from there, you know, I think Ole Miss jumped in, Minnesota, Kansas, I think, jumped in there. So he's starting to pick them up now. Maryland, Tennessee, I believe, just offered Jameer, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, he's starting to roll them in. The good news for Arkansas is that they already set an official visit date for November 24th. That's a Friday. That's the day they play Missouri this year. So he's expected to be up here in a few weeks. We'll see how that goes from there. But, boy, they need him. I don't know Ole Miss's situation on the offensive line, but if you've watched Arkansas, and I guess you will Saturday, you'll be able to tell very, very quickly they need some offensive linemen immediately, and they need a quality JUCO guy to come in and play. And not just play, they need a starter next year. The left side of their left tackle spot has just been, he's a good kid, Colton Jackson, but boy on him. This year, they really need somebody to come in and just totally wipe that position off the earth.
You ever notice that when in football, when or any sport, when the first thing you say about a player is "he's a good kid," it's the equivalent of "man, she's got a great personality." It's the exact same thing.
It's the same thing. You know something negative is coming.
Yeah, you know it's like, okay, so you're telling me she's not pretty.
Yeah.
It's okay, but let me prepare myself mentally. All right, help me with this real quick before you guys continue your recruiting conversation. I'm two games back in our picks competition on rebelgrove.com. Okay. I'm way over 500, and for someone who watches as little as football as I do, it either speaks volumes for how easy it is to predict the SEC this year, or it's just pure luck. The best line, the only line that I can find, there's several sports books in Vegas that are not taking money one way or the other on Arkansas at Ole Miss. I found Arkansas plus 3.5 seems to be the most consistent line on sports books that are taking action on the game. Your boy Biddy said he's going with Ole Miss, and he wouldn't be surprised if it was Ole Miss big. And Chase and I then had the conversation where we said, well, this is that deal when you're a beat writer and you cover a team that is average to below average, all you see is warts. I mean, that's what we are with Ole Miss. We're just like, I mean, if you say, hey, break down Ole Miss, we're going to go like 400 negatives. And it's not because we hate them or whatnot. It's just because when you cover a team that's that has problems, that has issues. You focus on the issues. So
exactly.
You tell me, Arkansas plus 3.5 at Ole Miss, do you have a leaning one way or the other?
I'm with Betty, man. I'm super negative right now. I would go Ole Miss probably big. At home? Are you kidding? Like, this Arkansas team has given up like 48 points a game against SEC schools, Neil. 48.
We might have a quarterback competition in the spring if they put up 48 points.
Telling you what, I realize Shea Patterson's out, but my goodness, man, that Arkansas offensive line, they struggle so mightily, and the defense giving up that many points. I don't trust Arkansas. There's no way I would put any action on that whatsoever if I'm betting. I would go with Ole Miss, Neil.
I know I'm absolutely derailing y'all's conversation. I'm just blown away that Brett Bielema.
I am too, man. I am too.
That he can't get offensive linemen. I like Brett. He's funny. He's great with media, which tells me he's got to be great with kids, and he's funny with parents, and his APR scores are good, and he seems like a stand-up guy, and his teams don't get in a lot of trouble. I'm just kind of shocked, honestly, that they've struggled with offensive line recruiting. It blows me away. It really, of all the things involving that program, that's the part that, for me, Danny, I just scratch my head and say, you know, you can talk about how, hey, here's how come they can't get cornerbacks, and here's why they couldn't get wide receivers, or you can come up with logical explanations for most things, but their inability to recruit just a bunch of studs up front is really beyond anything that I'm able to come up with. And I consider myself to be only a slightly below average intelligence person. I should be able to come up with some sort of an arguable position on that would withstand scrutiny, and I can't.
I'm telling you, buddy, we're baffled. I think I've got a theory on why it happened. You know, I think Trey told you guys about the Sam Pittman deal the other day.
Yeah.
On the other podcast, and you know, Sam was a fantastic recruiter. He still is for Georgia now, but there was kind of a flaw that people tend to forget about Sam. Yes, he would target these 4-star, 5-star kids, and every now and then he'd get a couple of them. But what happened when he didn't get one? They were just kind of stuck either without signing one at all, or they would, you know, they'd try to plug and play some JUCO offensive lineman who didn't have any offers, who just kind of came out of nowhere, and that's just who they went with.
The Hugh Freeze linebacker recruiting.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
That's what Ole Miss did with linebackers. That's why they don't have any.
You understand where I'm getting at. Yeah.
It
catches up to you. You can't put all of your eggs in these 4- and 5-star baskets and then just come up empty over and over again. It's going to bite you, and right now that's what we're seeing with Arkansas.
I'm not going to name names because I don't like doing this to kids, and so I'm not going to do it. And no, I'm not talking about Taylor Polk. Ole Miss would recruit these big 4- and 5-star linebackers, and they'd get in the final three. And they'd miss on all of them. And then at the last minute, the last weekend, they bring in some kid who from with no offers anywhere. Like he'd have an offer from, you know, Hawaii International. And they'd bring him in, and all of a sudden, you know, the other recruiting people that are the spinners would start spinning going, oh, man, he's late bloomer.
Yeah.
This guy—he's going to end up being better than so and so, and better than so. It's like, come on, you can't believe what you're saying. And then 3 years later, fans like are asking, "Hey, how come so and so is not on the field?"
I'm telling you.
Why do you think he's not on the field?
We're seeing the exact same things, just two totally different positions. But that is exactly what happened to Brett Bielema at Arkansas. On the offensive line.
One of the really good recruiters, the one of the skills that they have is they have the ability to know when it's time to abort, if you will. I mean, it's August. We're not getting this kid. Yeah, we really want this kid. He's great. He fits our scheme. We like his mama, et cetera.
Yeah.
But we're not getting him. Next. being able to move on and let your ego, you're going to lose in recruiting. You're going to lose as much as you win, if not more. Being able to go, we are not getting this kid. We might keep it warm where if, let's say he's going to Texas, where if Texas ends up imploding, we can get back in it. Or if Texas's coach leaves because he has a sex scandal, we can get back in it. But you have to be able as a coach, and I think this is a flaw. It was a Hugh Freeze flaw. An inability to say, we're not getting him. Let's move on. Let's get to the next guy. He might not be as good as Jimmy, but he's good, and let's get him.
Yep. Totally with you on that.
So I'll just give you a couple more names. I know you probably got quite a bit to do today. Game day's coming up quickly. Glenn Beal, the tight end from, I believe it's John Curtis in Louisiana. Is Arkansas still in the picture with him? I know Ole Miss is still kind of flirting with the idea of taking a tight end. But what's Arkansas thinking?
Yeah, they are, actually. I talked to Glenn's mother last week, and she told me they have not set a date for the Arkansas visit, but it would likely come after the end of his season. So, you know, that's basically all I know for now. He's already been up here once for an unofficial visit. I want to say that was in the summer, maybe in August sometime during camp. But, you know, Arkansas situation on the tight end position, they've got several quality guys on campus already, but they like to sign at least one every year. It really comes down to if they have room or not.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
That was my last question: is how many spots does Arkansas have for this class? I know we talked in the summer; it was real small.
Yeah, it's going to be a really small one. They're projecting somewhere around 15 to 17 right now. They've got 11 in the boat, but you've got to add in two more blue shirts from last year. So technically they're at 13. They've only got 2 to 3 spots remaining. And as I told you guys, you know, they've got to have offensive linemen. They've got to have another outside linebacker. So if they can take a tight end, they're going to do their best to try to get Glenn Beal. But right now I can't sit here and tell you that they've even got a spot for him.
Does the class stick together if there's a coaching change?
Oh, boy, great question right there. I think, and I'm sure it's the same over there, guys, but, you know, they're going to have a collection of kids that are going to Arkansas regardless of what's going on. They could be 0-12 and have a brand-new coach that nobody's ever heard of, and you're going to get those guys.
That won't stop Notre Dame from trying, though. That won't stop anybody from trying to flip them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's some kids that grow up in Arkansas that I could be named the Arkansas coach, and they'd still come play for Arkansas. They'd make fun of Coach McCready, but they'd still come play for Arkansas. And by the way, if you're listening, Jeff, I will take the gig for 2.5 a year. I make no promises other than I will try really hard. Give me a 4-year deal. Give me a buyout with the full contract, and I'm in. I'm there, and whoo-pig.
Yeah. Can I be your coordinator?
Yeah, I will hire any coordinator that Jeff wants me to hire.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'll hand him. I promise. Hey, let me make another promise. I will not interfere with the offensive meeting room or the defensive meeting room or the special teams meeting room or, frankly, any meeting room. Well, I will sit in my office and count money. And we'll go recruit.
You get a $15.4 million buyout, Neil. You're probably going to need it, buddy.
$15 million buyout. That would be awesome because they will buy me out. And that will be – that the day that I get bought out will be awesome.
Yeah.
That press conference I will praise Arkansas. I will say nothing but good things. I will give one-on-one exclusives to all the beat writers, and then I move into my island, and no one will hear from me again.
You get it all figured out, man.
I do. All you got to do is get me the job, Danny. Tell Jeff Long, say he's sharp. I mean, I will be great in the living room, and I could look good in red. I like Arkansas. It's cool facilities. I can call the hogs. I'll say woo pig all the time. I'll end every tweet with hashtag woo pig. I will for that money. You damn right. I'll do it. Anybody else is listening, I'm in. I tried to get the ULM baseball job since I'm an alum. That candidacy didn't have any traction. I'm not sure why.
No. Yeah. That's unfortunate, Neil.
It really is. It's hard to get a good coaching gig right now when you've never coached past Little League.
My last question goes to Bumper Pool.
He's moving right along.
He just keeps going. He's like, I'm I'm going on this next question. I'm just going to let the idiot finish, and then I'll go right back.
The linebacker. Is he going to be taking any
What's
other
his name?
Bumper Pool.
That is fantastic. And the first thing I'm going to do at Arkansas is we're going to get Bumper Pool. We're going to get that kid. I'm telling you, I will – whatever it takes, we're making that happen. So that when I stand up for my press conference in February, I'm going to say, we got Bumper Pool at Arkansas.
Well, so far, guys, they've got him on board. You know, this is a kid that he's got a lot of family ties. You know, he's one of those out-of-state kids in Texas, but he's kind of considered an in-state guy, if you know what I mean. He's got family history here, mom and dad, sister currently in school here. This kid grew up wanting to be a Razorback, and he committed – almost a year ago now. It would be a year ago next month, here in a couple of weeks now. So I don't think he's wavering in any way. You know, he seems locked in. He's always up here taking the 5-hour trip to Fayetteville. I see him at all the games, so I don't think he's going anywhere, Russell, to answer your question.
When I was in junior high school, we had an assistant principal, and he was also our, I guess, what was that, algebra or pre-algebra teacher, and his nickname was Pocket Pool.
Oh my God. Yeah, buddy.
So I hope Bumper doesn't have a brother named Pocket. That would be unfair.
Oh boy.
Yeah, the girl behind me in class, I'll never forget, I got in trouble. The girl behind me in class kept leaning forward going, "Watch his Pocket Pool." And I would start laughing out loud, and I got in trouble, middle of class. Yep. Wasn't even my fault. But when you're eighth grade, that's funny. And you laugh. I mean, hell, I'm 47, and I still think it's funny. So that pretty much tells you everything.
Then again, you still laugh at the Tyson Drugs commercials. So.
I do. I still laugh at the Tyson Drugs commercial. That's awesome. Bumper Pool. I like. He will be my new favorite player in the SEC.
You know, he's actually got a Bumper Pool table in his den.
Well, I would freaking hope so.
Yeah, you've got to have one.
I mean, right? If your name is Bumper Pool, you've got to be great at Bumper Pool. Yeah. I mean, that's just, that would be like a prerequisite, wouldn't it? Seriously? I mean, otherwise people would be so, you would want to dominate that game.
Every time I talk about him on radio or podcast, whatever, everybody has something to say about that name. It makes me wonder how many times he's had to explain or talk about his name. Do you think he ever gets just so sick of it that he just wants to change his name?
Oh, probably. Although that's a really cool, unique name. Is that his given name or is that a nickname?
No, that's his given name.
That is,
as far as I know, that's his real name, Bumper Pool.
So his name is like Bumper Michael Pool?
Yeah, I would assume.
That is fantastic. I love that. Good for his parents. Because, I mean, think about it. Whenever he meets a girl, he's got a natural talk. There's something for them to talk about right off the top. So she's going to say, "Absolutely. So how'd you get the name Bumper?" And all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, you've had a conversation. You've made good eye contact. You've established a rapport. Yeah. It's better than, how'd you get the name Michael? I don't know. They gave me the name Michael. So see ya.
I have heard the story as to how he got the name. I remember the story now. His father in high school, obviously his last name was Poole. And he told all of his buddies in high school, this is a true story, by the way, he told all of his buddies, "One day if I have a son, I'm going to call him Bumper so he can be Bumper Pool." And he kept that promise like 20 years later when he had a kid.
And he talked a woman into delivering that child and then allowing that name to happen, which makes him
the coolest dude ever.
He must just be awesome. I want to meet him so bad now.
Awesome. Yeah, he's got to be pretty awesome.
Okay, well, that's my new – because Ralph Webb's leaving Vanderbilt, and I need a new favorite player.
Yeah, I like Ralph Webb's myself.
Now, Denny, where can everybody find you on Twitter? Obviously, they can get you at Hog Sports and that kind of stuff. Where can they find you on Twitter? You guys have a Facebook page.
Yeah, at DannyWest1. I had to add a 1 on the end of it. I don't know who the regular Danny West is. I found him one day. He's got like 7 followers. And I've been trying to work with Twitter on letting me drop my number 1, but no such luck so far.
See, maybe if your parents would have named you Wild, yeah, you'd be Wild Wild West.
You know, that's actually my intro on my radio spot, that song.
See? I'm telling you.
It all adds up.
It all does. All right, Danny, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon. Best of luck with everything.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I enjoyed talking to y'all.
All right, take care.
We'll see you.
Our thanks to Danny West for joining us today on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Hope you enjoyed that. Danny's a great guy. He and Trey do a terrific job for the Rivals Network. Trey Biddy was kind enough to join us on the Oxford Exxon podcast earlier this week. And then Danny giving 45 minutes of his time, probably wondering what the hell he was doing talking to me. Anyway, we appreciate you joining us. I want to remind you again about Billy's Pecans. It's billyspecans.com. At checkout, when you go online, and I'm sure you could say it on the phone, use the promo code SOFTVERBAL, SOFTVERBAL, and you will get, if you buy a 1 or 2 pound bag of the cinnamon spice pecans, you get an 8 ounce bag of the pecan sandies absolutely free just by using the promo code SOFTVERBAL. Again, it is billyspecans.com. And the phone, you can email them at gifts@billyspecans.com, or you can call 1-800-624-7404. For Danny West, for Russell Johnson, I'm your host, Neil McCready. We'll be back with another Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans next week. Until then, take care. Have a great weekend.